This audio presentation is a teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, What God Requires of Me, Part 2, Pastor Scott goes over the last two things that God requires of us and why we should do what God asks. This message was recorded on Sunday, October 25th, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, everybody! Oh, it's so nice to see all of you and some new faces. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, we passed out a survey for the couples. If you filled out that survey and you still have it in your Bible someplace, please give it back to us so we can see which way we want to go with a couple's ministry, all right? Okay, we got Operation Christmas Child. Did you know that last year, this church, this fellowship, gave out over 100 boxes? Man, give yourselves a hand. And this past summer, when I went to our conference, I got to meet some of these people, and I got to share with them what we did. And it was just a wonderful time. And you know, one of our local ladies here got actually selected to go, I think it was Colombia, and distribute these boxes. And what a blessing. So if you got a box, great. If you want to get a box, there's some over here, and there's like 100 more we got to put together. Well, but we don't put them all together because we're going to run out of space. And then if we put them all together, they might have surprises inside later on. If you live in Hawaii and you know what loves to live in boxes, yeah? So grab one and make sure you grab the brochure because it has the label inside for a girl or for a boy or a different age. And it also has suggestions of what you can put inside. Okay, and these got to be turned in like middle part of November. Take it down to Big Island Toyota, drop it off there. Or if you can bring it here, then Pastor Dennis can take it to Toyota, hopefully, if we don't bring like 200 at one time and fill up his car. But that would be a really, really great problem. Amen? Amen. Hey, on Saturday, November 21st, the youth, our junior high and high schools, they want to do a Thanksgiving dinner right here on Saturday. So they're asking for your help. If anybody can cook a turkey or ham, mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, dessert, you can sign up. They have this on the table over there. And they usually start at 5, so maybe you can bring your stuff at like 4:45. If you want, we could buy you the ham or the turkey. You just got to go and cook it. And you know when you cook the turkey, I found that one of the benefits of cooking my own turkey, after I take off all the meat, you know there's that carcass, that shell. Oh, I love to pick at that. And the neck, man, that's the benefit because the kids, they don't want the neck, believe me. But as you get older, you find out that's like part of the best parts, you know, and the innards, the gizzards and the liver and all that, that's the good stuff. But if you want to help, please sign up. Okay, we are going to do something for our children for Halloween on November 1st. So if you still want to bring candy, you can. And we're going to do something for the next week, Sunday. And then Saturday right here, we're helping put on a program for the community to come here and play games and get prizes. And our fellowship, for the second year in a row, we're in charge of food. So we plan to give out 300 hot dogs and chili. So I have somebody cooking the chili, so I'm not going to ask you to cook. But if you are able to come from like 5:30 to 8 o'clock and help pass out the hot dogs and chili, it would be great. Anybody out there willing to come and help? I got one hand back there, one over there. All right, see, I get your hand. Well, Craig, you got to be here because you're making the chili. And Craig's chili is really good. I would come just to eat his chili. And I'm going to be here just to eat his chili anyway. But if you guys can come, let me know so I can make sure that we have enough coverage. Because last year, We did it at Shipman Park, and we did it in a very little small pavilion. And there was like five of us, and we got smashed, especially when it rained. It rained almost all night. And when it rained, everybody came into the pavilion. And you know how small it is. And we had a bunch of children. And it's our way as New Hope East Hawaii to give back something to the community. Amen? Okay, ushers, can we prepare to receive the tithes and offering? We have the best ushers in the world. And, you know, if New Hope East Hawaii is your home, then, hey, you know, give. If not, take your tithes to your home church. If you want us to give it to them, just let us know and we will send it to them. But if you want to give cheerfully, because, you know, I got to tell you this. You guys here, when we ask, you guys give. When we ask to help the refugees from Syria, you guys gave. And then I think a week later, Foursquare came out saying, if you want to help, then you can give. But we were ahead of it. And you guys gave ahead. And we got to send the gift out to help with those refugees. And there's so many things happening. And I am always encouraged by your heart and your generosity. And I want to say thank you. You know, give yourself a hand. Give yourself a pat on the back for your generosity and your love and how this fellowship has the longest arms that reaches around the world through what you guys do. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that this morning we get to give of our tithes and our offerings. And Lord, we ask that you would bless this gift, bless the giver, Lord, and help us to steward this in such a way that we expand your kingdom. We reach the lost, we equip the Savior, and we just continue to grow. Thank you so much that we get to give this morning. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Ooh, thank God it's cooler this morning, yeah? Look, there's no fans on stage. Last night, I actually got up and turned off the fan. Ready? It's so nice to see some familiar, you know, all the familiar faces. You know, it's getting to, I just love this season. I seen your sister this morning. But I just love this season, don't you? It's kind of, are you guys getting excited? Really? You guys not excited yet? Come on. You guys not excited because you're in church? Are you guys, like, excited for this season? Man, Halloween with all the candy that we're not supposed to eat. And then Thanksgiving with all the food that, again, when you get older, you're not supposed to eat, but it's so good. And then the big one, man, Christmas, the birth of our Lord. And we're trying to put together some great things for Christmas. And I just love this time of year. For one thing, it gets cooler. And for another thing, I think when we're in this season, we're a lot more loving and caring. And I just love it. It's so hard to describe. But we're going to continue to talk about what God requires of me. Because, man, like I was saying this morning in our discipleship class, when I decided to say yes to Jesus Christ. I was at a low point in my life. Everything I was doing was not working. And I've been doing those things for like 37 years. And, you know, doing the same thing and expecting different results. They call that insanity. But I was at a low point in my life and I was kind of like, man, something is wrong and I need to make some adjustments or else, you know, my family and my life is just going to be gone. And when it came to that point when I went to church and, you know, I said, yes, I need God. How many of you need God? Oh, yeah, good. I mean, that's why you're here, right? And I knew I needed God. But then being at a low point and a desperate point in life, I just, you know, yes, God, I need you. That was it. I didn't count the cost, like the Bible says, count the cost. The Bible says, pick up your cross and follow me. I didn't even know I had a cross to carry. All I knew was I needed something in my life, and God was it. I didn't know that I was going to leave my job because Pastor Alex challenged me to, and I loved my job. I didn't know that I was you know, going to quit smoking because, man, after you eat one plate lunch, one double loco moco, extra mac salad, extra rice, you like smoke one cigarette. I mean, if you're there now, you know what it feels like. Because after you eat, oh, man. You laugh because you've been there. And I was like, you know, when I came to the Lord, I didn't know that he was going to ask me to quit smoking and quit drinking. And because to tell you the truth, even if when I found the Lord, I could stop the drinking. But the cigarettes was so like, oh. And I didn't know that I would have to do all these things. I didn't know that I had to work every Sunday. Man, all my life, I said, God, I want a job that I can work Monday through Friday, 7 to 5. And I had that. And then he changed the plans. Now you can work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, get Saturday off, maybe, work Sunday, and then maybe get Monday off. It's like, wow, you just threw off my schedule because I was enjoying. How many of you get 2 days off in a row? Oh, you guys blessed. Yeah, and so I never knew I had to give up all these things. And come to think of it, you know, I didn't really know anything about what God wanted me to do. You know, I never sat down and said, okay, if I decide to follow Jesus, I got to think what it's going to cost me. And am I going to do it? I just jumped in with both feet and said, I'm coming. And then I realized, like, wow, you know, I cannot go fishing Sunday mornings. I cannot go sit on my couch and watch football Sunday mornings. If not, you might be watching one video. If you see one video of me up here, check my house. I might be watching football. Yeah, so, you know, and if you never open that book called the Bible. Yeah, you really would not know what God wants you to do. But when we open that book called the Bible and we read and we understand, then we can kind of like, okay, God wants me to do this. He wants me to love, you know, that guy who cut me off on the road. You know, that neighbor whose dog comes and steals my shoes. He wants me to love them. You know, for those of you who go to college, you know, when you go to college, your first day, they give you one of those course outlines or syllabus. I don't know much about that because I never did good, and whatever they gave me, I threw it away. That's why I never made it through college. But they give you those things to tell you what is expected and when it is expected. So there's no miscommunication. And the same thing with your Bible. Man, if you open those things up, there are so many great things in there that will tell you what God desires. And we're kind of helping you out this morning by sharing some of the things that God wants us to do. So there is no miscommunication. Like, oh, I didn't know God wanted me to love my enemy and pray for them. But he does. But if you never read your Bible, you may never find that out. You know, so way back in the Old Testament, before the laws was written, Moses went up to the mountain and he got the Ten Commandments. How many of you know the Ten Commandments by heart? I see 2, 3, 4. The rest of you are honest. I'm not saying that you're not honest, but you guys are smart. And I was reading this the other day, and I was like, shoot, I broke almost every one of those commandments. How many of you can relate to that? It's like, you shall have no other gods before me. And I broke down. I had money, I had cars, I had fishing poles. Those were my gods. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Did that, done that. You know, you ever had my first car? You know, you build it up and you do all this. You put headers and you know, like, it's my baby. You know, you ever had one of those? You know, like you worship your car and it's like your baby. I made myself an idol. You shall not take of the name of the Lord your God in vain. Oh, man, before it was. You know, when you say that word GD, and somebody shared this to me, it's like you actually asking God to damn what you're doing. You know what a damn does, right? It blocks. And when people say that, like, you're asking God to damn what you're doing. And I was thinking, like, holy smoke, that is so true. And I used to say that all the time. Remember the Sabbath. What Sabbath? I still have a hard time with that one because I cannot sit still. Honor your father and mother. Oh, man, I did not do that. This is one, maybe murder. I did not commit murder. Not of another human being, but maybe an animal. But maybe not physically. But how many of you put somebody to death by what you had said? Right there. Do not commit adultery. And according to the Bible, if you just look at another woman with lust, adultery. Should not steal. Thief. You should not bear false witness. I'd lie to so many people. You should not covet your neighbor's house or covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant, female servant, ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Man, I broke these 10 commandments, most of these 10 commandments, if not all of them. And, you know, when this was before the law, and when they got these commandments, from these commandments came 613 laws. Look at how much pieces of paper I used to print, just so you can see how thick this is. 613 laws. Some were for the priests of that day. Some were for only the men. Some were for only the women. Some were just for a certain point or time or a certain situation. Some were forever, as indicated in the verse, like he says, do this forever, or this is to be a permanent regulation. But the main ones, they were meant for everyone, so that they knew from the priest to the common person what was expected of them. But you know, if you look at these 613 laws, it is impossible to obey. And the only way you're going to obey this is if you're dead. Really. And I'm so glad that Jesus came into the scene. In the New Testament, he gives us this in Matthew 22:37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law of the prophets. So Jesus was referring to Deuteronomy 6 to show that, you know, a person, the total being of a person must be involved in loving God. And we should not hold nothing back because God doesn't hold nothing back for us. So he said, you must love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. The word for love, agape, totally unselfish love. A love which we can only do with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The heart is a center of desires and affections. The soul is a person's being and uniqueness. The mind is a center of a person's intellect. And to love God in this way is to fulfill completely all the commands regarding our relationship with God. So now continuing in Deuteronomy 10, which we get this message from. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, love him, to serve your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and to keep the Lord's commandment and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Okay, so we talked about fearing God, having that reverence for him. We talked about walking in what he wants us to do. Not in the ways of the world, but in the ways that has a fellowship and communion with God. We need to love him how he deserves to be loved. Okay, so now number four, we need to serve the Lord. Whether you're serving him by praying for the church, whether you're serving him by giving of your tithes and offerings, whether you're serving him in the children's ministry, greeting, setting up, breaking down, regardless of how you serve the Lord, we need to find some way to serve the Lord. Amen? In Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will either hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the others. You cannot serve God and wealth. See, he's saying that you cannot belong wholly and entirely to two different things, because you're either going to love one and not the other. The Pharisees, back in this time, had this big problem because their spiritual eyes were really off. They were diseased. With their eyes, they were seeking money and position and power and wealth. And they were in a spiritual darkness. They were slaves to greed. And their desire for money was so great that they were failing in their service to their true master, which was God. The thing is, who are you serving? Because the Bible says we cannot serve God and wealth. You know, I know we need to be serving God. In 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed the fat of rams. Now, a sincere and a conscientious obedience to the will of God is much more pleasing and acceptable than burnt offerings or sacrifices. Right here in this scripture, Samuel is confronting King Saul, who was the first king of the Hebrew nation. And he was serving his greed rather than God. And he made excuses for his greed. He said he was told to destroy everything, you know, and it was pretty serious when you look at what he was asked to destroy. You may think, wow, but he was destroy man, woman, child, everything down to the last sheep and animal. But he took some animals because they were like, he was probably looking at like, oh, this is some nice, serious prime rib, and we can have a feast tonight. And he took them, and then he made that excuse like, oh, man, I took this because we wanted to sacrifice this to God. But God says he'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. You see, I think God is more glorified and ourselves more denied by obedience than sacrifice. It is much easier to bring an offering than to bring every thought into obedience to God and make it His will. I mean, I can come here and drop my tithe offering in the bucket. No problem. That is easy for me. But sometimes to make every single thought captive to Him and His will, because sometimes we're disobedient. It's obedience is not an easy thing. I think when we can learn to love God the way He deserves, then obedience will follow naturally. The Lord wants our obedience above sacrifice. I believe that in our obedience, though, sacrifices will be made. When we consider serving the Lord, we might have to rethink it of like, not, because it's going to have to change. Because when I decided to serve the Lord, man, it had to change from what Scott wants to what God wants. Because now I realize, like, shoot, it's not about me. And the first line in Rick Warren's purpose-driven line, it's not about you. And that's a big reality check for some of us. Like, it's not about you. It really is, it's about God. Amen? So we got to find some place to serve the Lord. Somewhere, some way, somehow. Praying, doing something, but find some way. Number 5, keep the Lord's commandment. Commandment, keep the Lord's commandments. And really, that kind of seems impossible. But if you never read the Bible, then you might not know how. If you never trusted the Holy Spirit, then you never really tried. Keeping the Lord's commandments. Good thing we didn't have to do these 613 laws and the Ten Commandments, because the Lord says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And in John 14:15, and prior to this, Jesus was urging his disciples, man, love one another. Then he spoke of their love for him. And you know when you love someone, you listen, right? How many of you are married? How many of you love your wife or your husband? You better all married. You better all raise your hand. Yeah. And when you love them, and they say, honey, go to the store, pick me up a gallon of milk. You go to the store, you don't come back with a six-pack of beer, you come back with a gallon of milk. You love them, so you listen. It's not like you being a slave. It's like when my wife asks me to do something, it brings me joy to go and help. Frank asked me to come help put flooring down in one of his rooms. Man, I was so happy to go. Not only did I get out of the office, but I got to sweat and get my hands dirty. And love, man, you just, because if you love, you will do, amen? And if you love God, I think the obedience will come. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It's like a new one. You know, he told his children that after he leaves, after he goes back to the Father, that you love one another. Jesus commanded us to love one another just as I have loved you. Man, that was sticking with me all summer long. Because I can love God, but to love others like how He loves me, whew, that you need the Holy Spirit. Yeah, because without the Holy Spirit, you're going to love them how like you like love them. And sometimes loving somebody like slapping them, because that's how you like love them. But He said, love one another as I love you. Like, so if you get anything this morning, get this. Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if you get anything this morning, we are commanded to love God first and love others. And the way we love others is the way we love God. And I think if we can do that, everything else will fall into place. So what does God require of us? Man, love him and love others. And Deuteronomy 10, like we read earlier, fear the Lord, walk in his ways, love him, serve him, and keep his commandment. Why should I do what God asks? Man, tell you, it's good for your health. It's good for you. You know that? Deuteronomy 4:40. So you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I am giving you today, that it may go well with you and your children after you, that you may live long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. You know, God is so graceful. And when we can be obedient to him, it's going to be good for you. I mean, not everything will be rosy and paved roads. It's rough times and trials, but it's going to be good for you. When I go through things, I see it as, okay, I'm going in the right path, that path, that's why I'm getting resistance. Or I need to learn something, that's why I'm going through this. And it's all good because God is good. The words that he says here, so that it may go well with you, they occur 8 times in this book. And they emphasize the motives for obedience. The idea that righteousness lengthens one life and shortens one's life, that was a common theme in the Old Testament. Wouldn't you agree that knowing what God requires of you, if you know what God wants you to do, wouldn't it make good sense to practice it? Amen? I tell you, when we can do that, when we can love God like how he loves us and love others, this fellowship here can change this community, change the world the way we're going. We understand that what we do is to honor God and to continue to spread the good news. Amen? You can put away your notes. And we just needed to get on that same page because, man, God doesn't want you to have to obey 613 laws. If you want to look at this and you want to try this for 1 week, I'll give you $100 if you can do it all. Any takers? And you cannot be locked in one padded room all day. But even then, you still might think wrong thoughts. But it's crazy. And if we know that God requires us to love him and love others, man, we can take this good news very far. Amen? I'll ask the worship team to come up. Put away your notes. Don't forget, please sign up for the youth thing, and if you can help us this Saturday, let me know. We'd love to see you here. And if you have children, then I don't expect you to serve, but I expect you to come bring your children so that they can have the benefits of what we do for the community. Let's pray. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for you share with us in your word what you require us to do. And Lord, we pray that we would take the time to open your word and that you would teach us more and more how to live, how to walk in your ways, how to fear the Lord, how to serve you, how to follow your commandments, how to be obedient above making sacrifices. And Lord, I pray that we, as a fellowship, would love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we would love our neighbors as ourselves, to love God and love others. We thank you, Lord, that you have showed us what you want us to do, and we pray that we would take action and not just let it be words, but let it get into our hearts and let it come out through our hands and our actions. We thank you so much. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.